Well, I suppose really the People's Association came about as a consequence of Rackman and housing, and various people came into the area. There had been some campaigning around housing, but not very much. And then various people, I suppose, moved into the area, and it was such a scandal. And the people themselves, people such as Pat MacDonald, who was a leading activist, was lived in one of his flats, and people came together. And as a consequence of that coming together around All Saints Hall and in Colville and Paris Squares, the People's Association was formed. And it was very idealistic in the sense it was very open and anybody could come along. But it raised issues, and obviously housing was the most important issue it raised, but it also raised issues around play space, because a child had been killed, and so there was a big campaign to have certain roads basically blocked off so that children had got more play space. And so there was an organisation, one of the first that I was involved in, called Play Space for North Ken, which was all about doing that. And a number of things happened. So there was housing, and as a consequence of a lot of activity around housing, basically the Notting Hill Housing Trust was born, because it was seen that those houses, which in the past had been multi-occupied and with landlords like Rackman, I mean, Rackman had gone, but there was still a lot of very poor housing. It was a case that those houses were bought up to provide decent housing, so the housing trust developed and grew. Alongside that, it was recognised that there wasn't enough play space, so you had the adventure playground movement happening, and that happened under the motorway and on basically derelict land. The law centre came along because people also had problems with their landlords, so the law centre was set up. And then I suppose the other element was that everybody recognised that childcare was a problem. There was an awareness, there was a lot of illegal childminding going on, which was really very grim. And the borough, to be fair, didn't have that many powers to close them down anyway, but people knew about them. So there was a concern that there was no good, adequate childcare. And at the same time, you had another movement happening, which was the preschool play groups. And preschool play groups were fine, it was sessional, but it was not much help to working parents. But a lot of the ideas of the play group movement took hold, parents' participation, which obviously didn't happen in, say, your traditional nurseries. And I mean, the traditional nurseries, we had nurseries in the area, but they were run by social services and they were quite formal and they were very, very restricted in terms of the children who went there. So there was all of those things happening, and around that there was a whole group of us who had been politically involved in either the Labour Party or the Communist Party and were becoming much more involved then in the women's movement. So we set up the North Kensington Women's Centre, and we had premises and in Acland Road, which we managed to get very short-term premises. So, and we campaigned on childcare, and we campaigned on housing, and we worked with tenants around that. And then, of course, we had a big campaign around the public laundry, which was the old laundry, well, the old baths building. It was a beautiful old building in Silchester Road, which the council suddenly announced that they wanted to demolish, and there was no plans really to replace that facility. So it had been a laundry and swimming pool and public baths for people. So we had a very, very big campaign of practically 99% women who used it, and not the kind of women who they were used to seeing on demonstrations. These were women who were, early morning cleaners, local women who'd never been involved in anything before, but they were so angry about this fact that you had this facility which was Dickensian, really, or Victorian. But it was wonderful because you would sort of load up your pram. I used to go with all of your week's washing, and it had wonderful rotary ironers, and you'd bring everything home aired and ironed. And people, and it was also a meeting place, so you had your day that you went and you met everybody, so there was a social element to it. So the laundry campaign was happening. So all of these different campaigns, and there were people who were involved in all of them, and people moved. And I suppose, in a way, it also attracted other people in, because one of the things that had happened around Play Space for North Kensington was that we ran summer play schemes. This is 66, 67, was the focus was very much on housing, and a lot of students came in the area to assist with a register of what was happening in housing. But then after that, in 68, the focus really moved to Play Space. So we had a lot of student volunteers who the People's Association, bits of it, or some of us who were involved in it, really organised. And so we had volunteers who were housed, and we used to get various houses and short-term bases, mostly students. And basically we housed and we fed them. And they ran under the motorway of play schemes. And the motorway was, of course, this big issue where there'd been the protest about it. And then next sort of group that got set up that came out of the People's Association was the Motorway Development Trust. And that was John and Jan O'Malley, and as Adam Ritchie and myself and Dave Perry. And we were effectively the Motorway Development Trust. But we campaigned around the motorway, and actually the space under the motorway. So it wasn't a protest. I mean, I think it was a given that the motorway was there, and although we'd felt and it did break up a community, it was there. And the original idea of the GLC was to turn that into bus garages and to have garages, and there was no space for any community activity. And one of the things we'd always been conscious of in North Kensington was the lack of space to develop facilities for the community. So, you know, all of the things that have subsequently developed weren't there. So the move was to get that land and to allow the community to develop it. So before we had the precursor to the North Kensington Amenity Trust was the Motorway Development Trust. But out of it grew the North Kensington Amenity Trust. And of course this was it was half and half, half council, half community reps. And we had elections for them. And various of us were on it. At one point I was vice chair, and the leader of the council was chair. So that was quite fun, because, I mean, the chair had the casting vote, and of course, 9 times out of 10, they won and we didn't. But we were beavering away to try to retain the notion that this was community space, because the GLC had done the deal that land, the value of the land, was going to be open space. So it was actually a very good deal for Kensington in terms of how much the land cost. So in a sense, the integrity of the thing would have been that it was always going to be public, you know, for the benefit of the community. Of course, what subsequently happened was that because of the prime nature of that land and this notion that it's a charity, so they must get the maximum benefit for it, then they can give the money away. And that was it was something that we hadn't wanted, because we just wanted it to be space that the community could use very cheaply. But and this was always, those of us who were community reps, that was our argument. And of course, we didn't in the end win that argument, but certain things happened that we managed to then wrest the space for Maxilla. I think it took us 20 years to negotiate the lease, because we refused to pay anything other than a basic ground rent, because we had raised the money for the building. So rather than the Amenity Trust charge us a rent which reflected their capital investment in it, as they hadn't had one, we would only pay ground rent. So it took 20 years, and we eventually got a lease. And I think, I think it was at least 20 years. So that's it. It was a whole number of activities happening, and I suppose the catalyst had been housing, because that's what hit the headlines. It was, and that was as a consequence of the people who lived in that housing really protesting. So, and then people coming from outside to support that protest. And there were some very, there were some amazing characters who already lived in the area who were very, very vocal. And so the, People's Association meetings were all quite lively. People were living in two rooms with having to go downstairs for water and toilets. And it was very poorly maintained, so damp, and extortionate rents. And also, the notion that Rackman was the only bad landlord is not true, because there was a lot of other bad landlords who used heavies and intimidation. And then, of course, what happened was, as prices of property started to creep up in areas like this, then there was this whole move to get tenants out. So again, there was more intimidation and people feeling a lack of security about their housing, because they were being basically winkled out. In terms of public amenities, there wasn't very much happening. We were lucky because in those days we had ILEA, and so things happened in schools and after schools and things like that. But there was a real paucity of activities that in other boroughs would happen in Kensington, because it was really, the borough just didn't see it as, it was the poor relation, really. And people in the south could actually afford to do their own thing, and people in the north were largely neglected. And the feeling was that there was what they called slum clearance going on, but it was just really seen much more as, let's get rid of all of these new incomers, and particularly the community, because I suppose the area has always been one of migration. So there was, the 1930s brought large numbers of Spaniards who came here after the Civil War. You had a lot of Irish people who were here also in just after the Second World War, then a very large Caribbean community in the late 50s and early 60s, and so then the Moroccan community in the 70s. And all of the time, you had the feeling that the council was really wanting to pull down a lot of the housing stock, the old housing stock, in order to shift out these new communities who had come, who'd moved in. Well, I suppose my saddest thing is, it's just very sad going to the closing of something that you never anticipated would close. We thought that so many of the things that we campaigned around have gone. Basically the law centre's gone, and people can't, people are having difficulty again accessing legal services. Notting Hill Housing Trust has lost, I think, a lot of its integrity in terms of being a community provider. It's just become sort of mini local authority. This Women's Aid, which we set up, has gone. There is no longer a Women's Aid Centre in North Kensington. The laundry went, but that in a sense was inevitable, because people's way in which people sorted their washing changed. So I suppose one has to accept that. It's just terribly sad to see something that you just assumed would roll on and be so much part of the community go. And then I suppose my other worry is that I think that the garden, which was the one last element, which was a community facility, I think it would be tragic if that was to disappear. It will mean that all of the effort that was put into trying to make the motorway of community benefit, having cut the community in two, our argument was, well, let's have at least something underneath it that is for the community. And by community in North Kensington, I suppose it's a bit, I mean, now, there are still very poor people who do live in North Kensington who still do need to benefit from open space. And I think that's going to be the case, or let's hope it's going to be the case, because those are the people that we need to do all the jobs. And I just think it's there too as a almost a memorial to all of the activity that went on to try and make North Kensington a sort of better place to live in. And yeah, that's, I mean, something that everybody wants to do. You want to make things better. And I mean, I think that was, from whatever perspective people were being involved in local community struggles, it was all about making things better. I mean, the council obviously thought all we were there to do was to make things more difficult for them. And, you know, but from all of the things that we've kind of fought for, we're really all about improving the quality of life. I think what the most important thing is always, I mean, North Kensington, like any community, is from the housing upward. The mix of your housing and your housing stock determines who can live there. And what I would want to see North Kensington continuing to be is a place that has a mixture of people who are, you know, of all socioeconomic groups, but, you know, recognising that we have schools, we have hospitals, we have transport, we have all of these services, and we have those essential workers who need to live in near where they work. So that's the first thing. I think that the keep, you know, the battle continues really for public housing, and that is becoming, I mean, in an area like ours where housing prices are so enormously high, I think that the battle should be really around going back to the old cry of fair rents and rent control, and rather than a market rent, which in North Kensington is an absolute ludicrous, it should be a percentage of people's income. And we always said it should be a third of people's income, okay, is paid in rent. And that, you know, was a view that was certainly in the 60s taken. And I think the fact that we could be losing that totally, and if we, you know, lose that, then I'm afraid that so many, you know, the people who've lived here for all their lives or whose families have lived here are just not going to be afforded to live here, and that's terrible. So I think housing is always key to a community, because it's who can live here. And empty houses, as we've now got around us, are not really what we should be, you know, what should be happening in any civilised society.